we studied that faith is always in God's word. Faith toward God is also through God's word. When you and I are not given the word of God, there is no way we can have this faith to believe, because the object of faith is in God's truth. And that is exactly what verse 6 refers to. Because all men have some degrees of faith in this world. You can read it in the writings of men, where man talks about faith all the time. And therefore, every man has faith. But that is not the context of chapter 11, verse 6 of the book of Hebrews. It is with reference to God's word and God's word alone. And God's word is very clear when it says that without faith, it is impossible for anyone to please him. The word to please God means to be accepted by God, where God looks at your life and God says, I am pleased with your life. God says man has absolutely no power at all to be found pleasing in God's sight. And the reason is, we are all born in sin. We are all conceived in sin. And that's why the moment you begin to exist in your mother's womb, you are already found in a state and a condition that is displeasing to God because of transgression. We are not born neutral. When our first parent, Adam and Eve, when Adam sinned, all mankind plunged into sin. We did not know how great sinners we were until God gave us the Ten Commandments. But all men knew that they are sinners in the past, and all men will always know that they are sinners in the present and in the future. It's a matter of whether you know you are great sinners. To those who have never been given the Ten Commandments, they all know that they are sinners. How do we know that? Because Romans 5 tells us it is because we die. The fact that we die is evidence enough that we know that we are sinners. And you know that you are a great sinner when you die and find yourself in hell. It is a place of great torment. It is a place where there is gnashing of teeth because of the severity of sin that we committed, and that's why the place of punishment is the just retribution of God upon all sinners. God wants us to be found pleasing in His sight. That's why God never left man alone. The moment Adam sinned against God, God came and held man accountable. He did not ignore man. He did not give up on man. He never did and he never will. Because the moment the Lord Jesus Christ was promised to man at the first gospel in Genesis 3:15, the seed of a woman will bruise the head of the serpent. That was the first gospel. That was the hope that God gave to man. The moment a man found himself in sin, and God knows that when man dies in his sin during his time on earth without accepting the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, he will end up in hell and he will spend eternity in hell and ultimately the lake of fire. God knows that. God does not want to see anyone, any human being, to be found in hell. God is not pleased with us if we remain in sin. And that's why God is telling us the truth. If God were to say otherwise, that it is okay, without believing in me, I am still pleased with you. God is lying to us. God is lying to himself. God cannot do that. As long as you and I are in sin, God cannot be pleased with us. You see, this pleasure of God that God wants to bestowed upon us, where God looks at your life, God says, I am very pleased with your life. I find a lot of pleasure in the way that you live. God wants to say that of us. Whether you are a believer or unbeliever, it applies. In the case of an unbeliever, the word of God that you must believe in is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the first doctrine. But once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, that does not mean that a believer can live any way he likes. He can also exercise no faith, whereby God is not pleased with him. He is a child of God, yes, but God is not pleased with his witness and his testimony. Even though he may have a relationship with God, But God will not hear his prayers because God says, if any child of mine were to hold on to sin that he knows of and he refuses to get rid of it by repentance, by forgiving others, for example, God says, I cannot be pleased with you too. Therefore, I cannot hear your prayers. I will not cast you off as no longer my child. You will forever be my child if you have truly accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. But I cannot answer your prayers. I will not hear you. When you cry to me for help, I can't help you. I want to help you. I want to answer your prayers and all your petitions, not only for yourself, but for everyone else in your life. But I will not do that. Because your life is not pleasing to me. Your testimony is not pleasing to me because you regard iniquity in your heart. So this particular verse applies on both counts. In the case of an unbeliever, the word of God that is going to be applied to you will be the gospel message, where God says, I love you. I loved you when you were a sinner, and you know that I loved you so much that I sent my only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, a most painful, humiliating death for you because of all your sins. He took the punishment on his body, which is yours to bear. He was perfect. My only begotten Son obeyed all the laws that I have entrusted to him to obey in order to save sinners like you and like me. And he did it. And then in obedience to God's command, he died on the cross, shedding his precious blood. And when he died, he uttered the three amazing words, it is finished. He tells us that it is finished. He said to the Heavenly Father, it is finished. I have completed the mission of love that my Heavenly Father, Jesus says, for this world of sinners. And God demonstrated his acceptance with a stamp of approval when God raised Jesus Christ up from the dead on the third day after he died. And that is the word of God that God offers to all sinners. Now, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as Lord and as Savior, God says, all your sins are washed, all your sins are taken away. I will now be pleased with you. You are no longer my enemy. You are now a child of God. And I am very pleased with the state and the condition that you are now in. Because once a person accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior, there is a complete transformation in him that is not the work of man. He cannot help himself but be transformed and changed. Little by little, but the transformation and change is real. That's what happens. And that's what God has done. The person will now be holy. The person will now love things that are spiritual, things that are taught in scriptures. He will begin to change in his ambitions and his motives. No longer will he desire his own ambition, which is very commonly taught and read in books, in societies, on the internet. Definition of successful life, lots of money, become a multimillionaire before you are 30. That's how they elevate success. That's how they define success in the world. And that becomes our desire and our motives too, our ambitions. You may have a very humble beginning. And so you are now motivated by luxury, by a life of money and success so that you can have a comfortable home for yourself and for your family. And that becomes your driving force. And once you become a Christian, you realize that you cannot seek after these things anymore. There is a continuous transformation in you whereby now you will seek only after God's kingdom and how to make sure that your life is a life of righteousness. And then you will begin to trust God to provide for you whatever material things that God knows you need to live for him on this earth. You no longer dictate terms. Lord, I want to have all these things before I can accept Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. Now, all you have been given is just the word. All you have just been given is just the word of God revealing to us an event that happened 2,000 years ago from our perspective. That there was a man who was born of the Virgin Mary. He came from heaven. No man's seed was involved. The Holy Spirit descended mightily upon the Virgin Mary, and she was with child by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus Christ was born also of the Virgin Mary, for she knew no man. during this period until after Jesus was born. And then Jesus Christ lived a life of perfection. Now, you're not there to see all these things, but this is revealed to us in Holy Scriptures. You have to believe in this. Because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So if you want to believe in Him, then the Bible tells us this is how you can be found pleasing in the sight of God. And so God says, first, if you want to come to Him, that means if you want to draw near to God, you want to be known by God, you want to have a personal relationship with God, then God says, you have to believe that He is. That's what He says. You must believe that He is. If you want to draw near to God, believe that He is. He is what? He is everything that God says to us in the Bible. He is all-powerful, He is all-knowing, He is all-holy, He is ever-present. He is holy, He is righteous, He is love. He is all these things, and that's why it is left blank. That He is, according to all that is revealed to us in Holy Scriptures. You have to believe this. There was this employer, a landlord. He was trying to witness to one of his employees. And so he shared the gospel with this employee. And the employee says, I cannot believe. I find it so hard to believe what you shared with me. And so no matter how the master, the employer, the landlord would explain again and again to him about the Lord Jesus Christ, God's love for him, he finds it so hard to believe. That these words are the very words of God. So one day, he received a note in his pigeonhole. It's from the employer, according to the writing. Come to my house at 3 p.m. noon on this particular day. That was it. And so when the day came, he went there exactly on time, 3 p.m. He knocked on the door. Employer opened the door. And the employer said to him, who asked you to come? Did you see me face to face? Did I tell you to come? No. Who asked you to come? Well, the note. The note says, come. And then everything fell into place. You don't expect God to appear to you face to face to come. The word of God, you come unto me. You want to come to God. You believe what I've written to you in Holy Scriptures. He believed. The employer did not tell him face to face to come, but he came. This was the illustration used by Spurgeon in one of his sermons that struck a chord in my heart concerning faith. That's what it is, isn't it? Some of us want to expect God to see us face to face, to appear in a mighty vision. Then I will believe. The word is here. The invitation is here. That's why God says, you want to be found pleasing to me and you want to draw near to me. You want to come to me. You must believe everything that I say about myself in the Scriptures. And what did God say? No man can come to me, God says, unless it is through Christ. For there is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. You want to come to me, it has to be through Christ. No other way. Don't come to me through your good works, because God says your good works are as filthy rags. Don't come to me through any other person, because no one on earth has been able to defeat death. No one died for you. Only my Jesus Christ, according to the Scriptures, He died for you. And now we live in a world where there are so many distorted Christs. Right from the very beginning in the days of the Apostle John, John already warned the early church, please be very discerning. Test every spirit. Don't be naive. You have to make sure that the Jesus Christ that you believe in, who is the only mediator between you and God, God and man, it has to be the Jesus Christ of the Bible. Because if it is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible, and you just simply believe someone who presented to you with a name called Jesus Christ with the same pronunciation and same spelling, but it is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible, you don't have salvation. Your life is still not pleasing in the sight of God because it is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. That's why the Apostle Paul kept on reminding us that you must believe in the Jesus of the Bible according to the Scriptures, according to the Scriptures, according to the Scriptures. In the time of the Apostle John, there was incipient Gnosticism. The Gnostics have infiltrated into the early church. The Gnostics believe that flesh is inherently evil. That's what they believe. sinful nature. So therefore, flesh is inherently evil. And because flesh is inherently evil, Jesus cannot be evil. And that means Jesus Christ, when he came, he cannot be human. Because to take on human form to become flesh, Jesus Christ will therefore become evil. And so they do not believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. But if you ask a Gnostic, do you believe in Jesus Christ? He will say yes to you. That's why the Apostle John told the Christians in his time. But you must ask them one more question. Did the Jesus Christ you believe in, did he come in the flesh? The moment he says no, that means he is not of us. He is not a Christian. You and I have been told time and time again out in the world when you meet your friends who are not fundamentalists. They can come from other denominations. And some of these denominations have propagated a Jesus Christ that is not of Holy Scriptures. They say, believe in Jesus Christ is very good, but you still have to bow down to the idols. You still have to complete the salvation of Jesus Christ by going through baptism, by attending services in church. If you don't attend services in church, if you do not be baptized, if you do not take the Lord's Supper or Holy Communion or the Eucharist, you are not born again. You can lose your salvation. You're not a child of God. That is not what is taught in Holy Scriptures. If you think that by believing in Jesus Christ, you're going to be healthy, you'll never fall sick, you'll always be materially rich, that is half-truth. That is the half-truth of many charismatic churches. And many have been so badly deluded, and that's why they flock to these churches, thinking that by attending these kind of churches, I will be healthy and wealthy on this earth. Yes, there are Bible verses that talks about believers being healthy and wealthy. But God says, when you receive glorification, you're going to be heirs and co-heirs with Christ after glorification, not on this earth, not off this earth. You're going to be so healthy that you will never grow old, you'll never die. And that's in the glorified state. But so long as you're in this mortal flesh, believing in Jesus Christ does not mean that in this mortal flesh, you're not going to experience sickness. You will continue. And when you are sick, please understand that it could be because of chastisement, or it could be simply a time where God is now testing and strengthening your faith, as James chapter 1 reveals to us. So if you believe in Jesus Christ so that you can have more money in the bank, more money in your wallet, so that you will never have running nose or cough or no cancer, then that is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. You believe in Jesus Christ for all the wrong reasons, and therefore you are not pleasing in the sight of God. Because anyone who comes to me, God says, you must believe everything that I have revealed to you in Holy Scriptures, that I am, that he is, who he is in the Bible. That's why it is so important for you to know Scriptures. We live in a world that is full of deception, especially within Christendom. Jesus told us that before my return, there will be a falling away. And the word falling away is where we get the English word apostasy. That means Christianity will become apostate. Christianity will only be Christian in name, but no longer in heart, no longer in essence. You will only have the form, the structure. You may have all your liturgy and all your church services, and you play Christianity, but you are no longer Christians. That's what we are seeing today. How can a church become apostate? You ask yourself one simple question. That's revealed to us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Before I return, Jesus says, there will be a falling away of the Christian faith. Do you know what that means? That means there will be more professing Christians, not genuine Christians, Christians who call themselves Christians and that's it. They are going to dominate the Christian scene from the top to the bottom, from the pew members right to the very top in the leadership, all professing Christians, and that will also be found in seminaries and Bible colleges today. Why do you think the Word of God constantly comes under attack? Ask yourself one simple question. Why can't Satan just simply leave the Word of God alone? Why does he keep on assaulting the Word of God from the very beginning? Do you know how he deceived Eve? Was it not by attacking the word of God, by casting doubt on the word of God? Did he not say to Eve, yeah, had the Lord said this to you? Yeah, had the Lord said. Why did he keep on casting doubt on the word of God? Why did he keep on saying the Bible has mistakes? Because he knows that your faith and my faith, our belief, is in God's word. Because without my faith and my belief in God's word, even if I want to believe in God's word with all sincerity, but the word of God given to me is wrong, is distorted, then my faith is useless. I might as well believe in the words of men. I might as well believe in the manual of a refrigerator that tells me how to use a refrigerator. You believe in this manual and you read it and you study it and you operate the refrigerator and it will work well for you in the refrigerator. If I believe in a Bible that is corrupt, if I believe in a Bible that is distorted or a gospel that is distorted, I might as well don't believe. The most dangerous situation in any human being life is to think that you are a Christian, to think that you are found pleasing in the sight of God when in reality you are still not, as opposed to an unbeliever. Because if I'm an unbeliever, I know when I'm an unbeliever. So when you share the gospel with me, I will tell you I'm not a Christian. Please tell me the gospel. But if I've already been told by man, by somebody, that you're already a Christian, you believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in Jesus Christ, so before I could even share with you the gospel, you will say, well, I'm already a Christian. But in reality, you are not. And you will find out when you stop breathing, when you die. And then you find yourself in the fires of hell. But then it's too late, isn't it? That's why it is so important for us to make sure that we are not without faith in God's word. It's not faith per se. We all have some degree of faith. We know that from last week's message concerning the definition of faith, of what faith really is. It's in God's truth. And if you really have faith and your life is pleasing in the sight of God and you want to draw near to God, God says, you have to believe 100% everything that I say in the scriptures. You can't pick and choose what you want. You have to believe that He is. He is what? He is everything that He says in the scriptures. From cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation, not one jot and tittle must you reject. You must believe everything. You must believe the tenses. Why God used this perfect tense, why God used this pluperfect tense, this tense and that tense, everything, plural, singular, everything, passive voice, active voice, everything about God's word, you have to believe. Because this is the very word of God. God makes no mistakes. That's how crucial the word of God is. That's why God has to inspire His word, and that's why God has to preserve His word throughout the ages in its perfection, because without it, you and I are finished. You and I will forever be displeasing to God, and what awaits us is hell. That's it. You know very well that God can only save us by the power of the Spirit of God, who will take the word of God and bring conviction, which will return result in conversion. The Holy Spirit cannot just save us without the word, because God Himself told us that the ministry of the Spirit of God is through the word. The word of God, He's not going to give us new teaching out of the Bible. Just as the Father sent the Son went to the cross. The Bible tells us Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit to illumine our hearts and our minds, to teach us, to convict us, to save us, and to help us grow and mature. They all have different ministries. They are all equal in power, essence, and glory, but different ministries. And the Lord tells us that the Holy Spirit will come to bring to remembrance what the word of God has taught us. That's how crucial the word of God is. And so you have to make sure of your salvation, that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that has been given to you must be according to scriptures. Otherwise, you are in a very precarious position, because at any time, you and I can leave this world. Anytime. Please remember this. Read in the news, internet. A family of three driving along the road in Malaysia to attend the wedding of a relative. 6:30 a.m., first thing in the morning, driving in their nice Mercedes car. According to the picture, it was a Mercedes. They never made it. They died on the spot. It was a very, they call it, strange accident. two huge vehicles on the other side of the lane. You know, the north-south highway, two different directions separated by a barrier. The accident was so severe and so fierce that whatever one huge vehicle was carrying, it swept across the barrier into the direction of the Mercedes that was traveling in the opposite direction at a particular speed, I guess. The whole top of the vehicle was wiped off. The three persons inside, father, mother, and a 17-year-old teenage daughter, perished on the spot. On the way to a happy occasion, never realized what hit them. Literally. Tragic. Don't presume. You must make sure of your salvation. Otherwise, you are not pleasing in the sight of God. Doesn't matter what you do. You can come to church and live in church and stay in church all you want, and that will not make you a Christian. You can memorize the whole Bible and recite it perfectly, and that will still not make you a Christian. Unless and until you accept Jesus Christ as Lord as your Savior, according to the Scriptures, with all your heart, you will truly be born again. Because the next step, God says to someone who is pleasing in the sight of God after he wants to draw near to God and believe that what God and who God is, the next step in verse 6 is that he is also, he must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. A rewarder means he will give to you, he will remunerate to you, he will give to you what he promised you in Scriptures. But you must diligently seek him. You cannot just simply seek him flippantly. Feel like it? Yes, I will pray. Feel like it? I study the Bible. Don't feel like it? Never mind. Diligently seek him is like a person who is seeking for gold. You read about stories in the Wild West in the olden days when people from the East heard of news in the West in California. They live in Philadelphia, for example, the other end of the continent of America. And the news is gold rush. You just go to the country in California. It's like gold everywhere. You just go there and you can earn in 1 month by collecting the gold nuggets what you can earn as a farmer in this part of America all your life. And so, if they believe, they will go. Some of them will just leave family behind and go and see whether they will survive the long trek and journey through the mountains, the rivers, the wild animals, the red Indians, and they finally arrive. They're going to spend every minute of every day and every cent they have to buy all the equipment they could to mine and look for this gold diligently. Day in, day out, their mind, they wake up, they start searching until they are so exhausted until they sleep. And then when they wake up, the first thing they do is to search again until and find it. Because what they have at home, family waiting. Some of them will bring the whole family at risk of dying, and many, I'm sure, died because their wagons get caught in mud, storms, snowstorm, flash flood, red Indians. Many died along the way. You can read it. It's in history. They seek diligently, no matter what, they put everything on hold, and they will make sure that they find it. Is this your attitude toward finding God? Because if you do, God says, guarantee, I will promise you whatever I reveal to you in Holy Scriptures, it's yours. If I promise you, according to 1 Corinthians 10:13, that as you serve me and witness for me on this earth, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Do you believe? And with every temptation, I will make sure that it will never be beyond what you are able to carry. And I will make sure there is a way of escape for you. So when you face temptations, whatever it is, the difficulties of life, the struggle in your life, don't sin. Because that's what temptation is. The moment you sin, whether in mouth, in thought, in action, it's fail. You fail. You must know that God knows that this temptation that you're enduring is a temptation that your faith is strong enough to go through it. You may feel so stressed that you're about to break, but you will not break. The moment you murmur, complain, you have failed. You must repent straight away and endure to the end. To be sued in court, it's a terrible, terrible feeling. To be called up by the Commercial Affairs Department, charging you with committing a crime like hacking into a computer, into the website. That's what happened. Our church passed the ruling that this church will now believe by the Board of Elders that God, who has inspired, has also preserved the Word of God perfectly. God says. And that's what this church believes. That means anyone who teaches otherwise, whether on paper or verbal, you can be disciplined. And so the Mandarin congregation refused to accept. They are part of us. They put on the website articles after articles attacking the Bible, saying the Bible has mistakes. And so we told the leaders, we told the pastor, please remove them once, twice, three times, four times. Refuse. And so I asked the one in charge, the administrator of our church website, including the Mandarin, please remove these articles from the website and return to them. You must return. You don't return, that's stealing. So you must return. Just like I was told that if a tree crosses into your yard and you're living in a semi-detached house, you tell the neighbor, please trim. He refused to trim. And so you trim it. But whatever you trim, it falls there, you must take and bring over, you know. Because if you keep, you're stealing his trees. You must give. I was told, so you better return. So you return. So same, return. And then receive an email soon after that. They prayed. They're praying to God whether to report Reverend Quack to the police for hacking into our website. And they said, yes, God says you should report. And so I was reported. So I went there, frightened, scared. I mean, well, how often do you get called up by the CAD? One phone call, hello, are you free? Can I say not free? I'm free. Morning, weekday, I could cancel my FEBC class to go there. How long? Don't know. Just come. So I went. Thank God we have lawyers in our congregation. So I talked to one of them and asked him how to prepare. Don't bring anything. Make sure you memorize and know all the facts and all the data and always tell the truth. So I went there, very frightened. Never been in that building before, and I hope never to be in that building ever again anymore. Tell the truth, just tell the truth, just tell the truth. No matter what they do, just tell the truth. They ask me again, I tell the truth. Two times, three times, four times, many times. Same, ask me the same thing over and over again. Kept on repeating the same thing over and over again because now I realize that if I were to tell lies, I can't remember what I said the first time. But if I were to tell the truth, you can ask me 1,000 times, I would still say the same thing. Nearly wanted to say to the Lord, Lord, why me? I should have just simply kept my mouth shut and don't do anything, and such a thing would not have happened to me. Why me? So easy to even think the thought. Why me? Why can't I just simply mind my own business and don't care for the Word of God? Why me? God knows. Do you believe that He will never, never allow us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear? Do you believe? Whether it is cancer, the loss of a job, whatever trial or difficulty you are going through now. This is what God says, that God will reward us. God will never, never tempt us, just like a loving Heavenly Father will not put on the load of His young son, a load that is so heavy that the moment you put it on His shoulder, He's crushed to death or severely injured. You and I know that your son at that tender age can only carry a load of 20 kilograms, and so you only give him 20 kilograms, no more. Would you give him 25? No, only 20, not even 21, not even 20.5. Because that's the limit. You and I know that. How much more our loving Heavenly Father when you go through all the trials and difficulties of life. He says, I will take care of you. I will reward you. I will be there for you. You trust me. I will never leave you alone. Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, and I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Do you believe? Because if you believe that God has given us all these manifold promises. They will be a reality. God never lies, but you have to believe. That's why the more you study the Bible, the more you hold on to the promises that God has revealed to us in scriptures, and then you pray according to God's revealed will, and then when it becomes a reality, your heart and your life will be so strengthened and so full of gratitude and thanksgiving, thankfulness, that indeed God is real. God is real. Many times when my wife and I quarreled, I prayed, Lord, please help us to mend our relationship, whatever it takes. Give us opportunities where we can heal. Grant me the humility and the grace to apologize, to do whatever it takes. Because every minute, I know that every minute that we remain unhappy with one another, it's a minute that is gone forever. And I don't want to waste any minute. Because time on earth, my witness to my wife is paramount, is very important. And what stands in the way is always my pride. My pride stands in the way. And so I pray, Lord, please help me. You have promised that you will give us the grace. That as our children, you have promised us that we need to have the mind of Christ, which is the mind of humility. I lack it at this time because of pride. Help me. And time again, the Lord help. Many times, so many times, the Lord never fails. You ask for the mind of Christ to humble yourself so that no minute will be wasted in your relationship that God has given to you, whether it is to your spouse, to your family, to your friends, to your siblings. God will hear, but you have to believe that God says, I am a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. That means you really want it. You don't just simply pray for it because it is the right way to pray. Do you really want it in your heart? You really want to have a mended, restored relationship with your wife? Yes, I really do, Lord. Please help me. I really do. I don't want to spend my time regretting because I know the longer I hold on to my pride and we do not talk, we have a very bad, sour relationship, those hours, those days will be gone forever. They could have been happy times. But because of my pride, those days will continue to haunt me. Because sometimes it is not days, it is weeks, it is months. And when you look back, it is stupidity, it is foolishness on my part to hold on to my pride and my witness continue to stumble the person that I love, the dearest, only till death do us part. Why would I want to do that? Pride. Lord, help me. Humble me. And God will. You diligently, with all your heart, cry to the Lord, Lord, take away my pride to mend my relationship. And God will surely do it. Do you really want it? Do you want to make sure that your life does not regard or hold on to any sin? Do you really want Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior, whereby all your sins can be washed away, where God will look at your life from henceforth instantaneously, I am pleased with your life. And to every believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, do you not want your witness and your testimony to also be found pleasing in the sight of God? Then obey the word of God. Don't live your life in any relationship on your own terms. Let it be on God's terms. God wants to be pleased with the life of a sinner when you accept Christ as Lord and Savior. God wants to be pleased with the life of a child of God, His child, when your life of witness is lived according to Holy Scriptures, when it is holy, when it is according to God's Word. God wants to look at us and be pleased with us. But without faith in His Word, He says it is impossible. What do you want? How do you want God to look at your life, dear friend? Pleasing or not? Your choice. Without faith in His Word, God says, I cannot be pleased with your life. Because when you don't believe what I say, it is as good as saying to me, you call God a liar. When God says, you are in sin, only my Jesus Christ, my only begotten Son, can save you. Would you believe in Him? And you say no to Him. You're basically telling God, God is a liar. You think you can go to heaven without going through Christ? How can God be pleased with you when you call him a liar? Same for us believers. When God says, please forgive one another, no matter how deep the wound, no matter how deep the hurt, forgive just as God has forgiven you in Christ Jesus. Will you forgive and love that person again for Jesus' sake? That's what God says. But if you don't, what are you sending the message to God? You don't want God to be pleased with your witness? How sad and how tragic. And the moment you delay 1 minute, that minute will remain forever as a minute that is displeasing to God. And your relationship with that person for that minute will continue to be at odds. Why? It could be very, very wonderful. All you need is to humble yourself. And God says, I will be pleased with your life. My son, my daughter, let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to all our hearts, O Lord, to know that Thou hast revealed to us the one and only way that this life can be found pleasing to Thee. All we need is to believe that You are who You are, according to Scriptures, that it is only in and through Jesus Christ that all our sins can be washed, can be forgiven. And You have accepted what Christ has done for us by raising Him from the dead for our justification. We believe, O Lord. And as Your children, Thou hast given to us the Holy Scriptures, that whatever pain, whatever hurt that we might carry, You have taught us to forgive, even as God has forgiven us in Christ Jesus. That whatever pain or hurt that we have received, no matter how unjust we might feel, teach us to forgive. Teach us to humble ourselves and to have the mind of Christ experienced in our lives, that we may be found pleasing to Thee in our life of witness and testimony. Hear our cry, O Lord, for Jesus' sake, for our heart's desire is that when You look at us, our heart, our mind, our soul, our life, that we are pleasing to Thee. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for Thy glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 3.